team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Nine o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and Kate, today. Both a little under the weather today.
Yeah, it's not great.
We're getting through. We're making it through. Let's see.
You want me to read some texts?
I think I can get. Well, you know, I'll do Roberts if you want to read. Oh, by the way, do we have a winner yet?
Yes, actually, we do have a winner.
Okay.
Where in the world is Tyler Francis?
All right, let's do that first, shall we? Take care of that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Wayland correctly answering T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Currently the host site for the western half of the NCAA men's basketball bracket.
Congratulations.
And the 2026 future home of the Frozen Four, which we'll see. I mean, I keep forgetting that the Vegas Golden Knights play in Vegas. Because
where do you think they play?
Well, I mean, just like, you know, the idea of putting a hockey team in a warm weather state still kind of... In
Florida? Tampa Bay Lightning?
I get that there's technology.
Champions in recent years.
I know.
Florida Panthers.
Like, you're never going to do an outdoor classic there.
No, you're not. There's some places that just won't happen, but...
Because then it'll just turn into a puddle.
Well, we have hockey here. We have River City Sportplex. I mean...
But we're like a relatively cold weather state.
Yeah, but we're not Minnesota, though. I mean, we're a high desert.
All right, fair.
You know. I know, it's not a place known for hockey. But that first year for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Huge.
Oh, they were an expansion team that got all the way to the Cup Final. It was incredible. Robert sent a text. I'm not going to read it because he's just supposed to be for me. But thank you, Robert. I appreciate the concern. Actually, I feel fine. It's not that I feel fine.
Right. It's just
the allergy. It's just the voice is just what it is today. From Ruben. Good morning, Barry White and company. Good morning, Ruben. Good to hear from you, man. I can't tell if it's your sultry voice or the new Broncos acquisitions that have me excited for next season. Ruben, whoa.
Hey,
whoa,
now.
Whoa, Ruben.
Hey, now.
Whatever it is, keep it up. Have a great day. Thank you, Ruben. Appreciate that. All right. So, still time to text and get some thoughts about last night's wins for Kansas State, Gonzaga. I thought UConn looked great last night. And the thing with Mick Cronin, okay, I understand. You don't want to wait 33 minutes.
That's life.
Waiting for the team that, you know, the team that you just lost to do their press conference. I get it. You're not happy. But does that make you look good going out there complaining?
No.
I just sit around for 33 minutes while they do their press conference. Makes you look like a jerk. How about just go do the press conference and just try to present the best possible face you can?
Because it almost sounds like he's never done a press conference before. Like, oh, I had to wait 33 minutes. This is ridiculous. Like, well, you're going to have to wait sometimes, pal. Like, especially if you've lost and it's a national tournament, everyone's going to have coverage. Yeah, it's...
I just think it makes... You might feel that personally. You might be upset personally that you feel like, I had to wait around. We lost. Now I have to wait for the team that we just lost to do their thing, bragging on how they beat us. But it just makes you look like a jerk. Makes right. you, and he's a really good coach. It just makes him, you know, he was whining about the seeding stuff before, how they were underseeded and this and that. Well,
right.
It's just, come on, Mick. Come on, Mick Cronin.
What are you doing?
And then Izzo. Does that make you look any better? Oh, they banked in some lucky threes, and they were lucky. Wait, it was partly them, but it was partly us. Well, you're also saying that they were extremely lucky. Tom, you've never won a basketball game where your guys have banked in a three, or come up with a quote lucky play to win. You lost. You got to overtime. You lost. And that's all there is to it.
And let's not kid ourselves. Tom Izzo ain't exactly known for being a soft, warm and fuzzy type.
I get
of
it.
Guy.
You want to defend your kids and you're disappointed you lost, but to kind of crap all over what Kansas State did. Well, they're just lucky. That's the stuff you hear when you're on the playground in fourth grade.
Right.
From Dylan, Avs need to pick it up against Arizona tonight and Sunday afternoon. I think they'll be more at ease if they can catch Dallas. Shout out to you both for powering through the show. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
Appreciate that. All right, 9:05. And the Colorado Mesa baseball team, they start their series today over at Colorado Christian. And for Chris Hanks, sitting on win number 999, a win this weekend. Win today, hopefully, just get out of the way. We'll give him 1,000 in his career. And I'm going to try to grab the clip, if I possibly can, from the Davis and Beadle podcast, where Curtis Beadleman was on Chris's first team. And Beadle actually picked up the third win of Chris's career. And Beadle, I think, is planning on being there this weekend to hopefully watch Chris reach win number 1,000. But we had the chance to talk with the Maverick skipper earlier this week on the Jim Davis Show.
Talking CMU baseball with Mav skipper Chris Hanks on the team.
Chris Hanks, Colorado Mesa baseball coach with us. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. First off, well, congratulations on the series sweep at Mines, but also on win number 999. Now, if you go back to day one of you being the baseball coach at Colorado Mesa, did you imagine getting to that number while being the skipper of the Mavericks? I mean, that's you're one win away, Chris, from 1,000 wins. That's a heck of an impressive run.
Well, thank you. It's a result of a lot of players and coaches and their dedication, of course. But to answer your original question, yeah, no, that it never crossed my mind. I mean, that was never a goal or anything like that.
Do you remember the first team that you beat? Who was the first team that you beat as the coach of the Mavericks?
I do remember. My first year in 99, it was the team with Jake Huff and Nate Duvall, two very good All-Americans. Steve Wojciech was on that team. We beat Southern Utah, Division I Southern Utah, down at a tournament at Dixie State.
So a nice way to start things out. You know, like I said, a Division I program now. You know, back in the day, they were not, but that's 999 wins. That's incredible. Of course, assuming you're going to get to 1,000 beyond this weekend when you play at Colorado Christian. But let's go back to what your team did over at Golden this past weekend. You get the sweep yesterday. You complete that sweep with a 14-12 win, and it looked like you guys were in pretty good position to kind of cruise to the victory. But give the Ortigers credit; they made it a little bit tougher there at the end.
Well, yeah, you know. It's kind of a baseball thing. I don't really fault our guys. You know, we had a comfortable lead. We were one run away with the runner on base from, ending the game, I think, in the seventh with the 12-run rule, and we didn't. And, you know, we really made an effort to pitch as many guys as we could. So we rolled out three different guys, one inning each. And, you know, they didn't do particularly well. And I think it's largely a case where, you know, when you see the score in the sixth or seventh, maybe you think the game's over and you're not going to pitch, although we tried to make sure they understood that we were going to try to pitch some people. But Mines, give them credit, yeah, they made it a little scary, and they had the tying run on deck.
Maverick coach Chris Hanks with us on the Team Sports Network. Cole Seward got the start, and then he ran into trouble in the fifth inning, but Richard Klontz came on, and he picked up the win in relief. He went an inning and two-thirds. He gave just a one hit, struck out four and 26 pitches. Bridger Klontz with an outstanding effort. Chris, out of your bullpen yesterday.
Yeah, he was really good, you know, and had the score not been what it was, we obviously would have left him out there. But because of the score, you know, as I mentioned, we wanted to get some people some innings. And as it turned out, you know, it went from, a 14 to 4-5 get 4 game to 14-12, and we're having to scramble a little bit to close that thing out.
Chris Hanks, Maverick baseball coach with us on the Team Sports Network, and you had four players with three hits in the game. Harrison Rogers, Rob Sherrar each had home runs yesterday, but Rogers 3-for-6 with a couple of runs scored, drove in a couple of double, hit his seventh home run of the season, and we had Harrison on last week and just talking about, you know, trying to fill some of that offensive void left by Hayden McGeary's departure and Caleb Farmer and Jordan Stubbings and those guys and Spencer Bramwell and Harrison delivering with an impressive performance yesterday and throughout the course of that series at Colorado School of Mines.
Yeah, Harrison's one of the guys that's taken over a leadership role. He's a very good player. He leads things off for us in the order, and he's just a really good player and a great teammate, a great leader. Can't say enough about what he brings to our ball club.
You also had some other guys, though, Chris, that you know did a nice job over the course of the weekend and yesterday. Braden Wingate and Julian Boyd, of course, has been an RMAC Player of the Week already this season. Both those guys had three hits, but Braden did a nice job at the plate yesterday with that three-hit day.
Yeah, you know, he's a kid new to our program from Salt Lake Community College, a very good player, and I told him early on that I was going to, you know, really run Stevenson Reynolds out there. Stevenson had been waiting for a couple years behind Stubbings to get his opportunity, and Braden's been a great teammate, and he's seen limited time, and you know, he got a start yesterday and made the most of it. Really helped us out.
So as you're ready to head to Colorado Christian this weekend, if you look at the standings right now, you're 16-7 overall, 7-1 in the RMAC. CSU Pueblo at 7-1, but they're just 9-13 overall. And so right now, I mean, after, you know, certainly, you know, trying to getting your sea legs under a little bit, Chris, early on in the season, some of the non-conference games that you had, seems like your team's in a really good groove right now on the bump and also at the plate.
Yeah, they are. We're starting to hit a little bit of a stride. You know, we designed a very difficult non-league schedule. There was some travel in there. We played very good people. I believe we're playing better now. And, you know, we're starting to fall into a routine of who goes where and, you know, how we're going to use our pitching. And I'm real happy with our guys, how they've handled this tough early season schedule. And along with the weather we dealt with, you know, this is just, as everybody knows, this has been a wet, cold early spring, and anybody that knows anything about baseball, this hasn't necessarily been highly conducive to great baseball weather.
Well, we saw it happen for Colorado Christian. They were supposed to play at Adams State, but they moved that series back over to Denver because of the weather. And for Colorado Christian right now, your opponent this weekend, we go over to Lakewood. They're currently sitting right now at 5-3 in the conference, 8-12-1 overall. Give us the lay of the land of the Cougars and how they're looking right now.
Well, hey, you know they're dangerous. They took 3 or 4 from us last year over there, and you know, obviously we had a very good team last year. They have a lot of returning guys. They knocked off Metro a game in a pod play earlier this year. They've been playing everybody pretty tough, you know, and so we're going to need to be ready to play. You know, it's for them, it's a low-risk, high-reward proposition, and we know that. We'll get their best punch, so to speak, and our guys know that. So we're going to need to be ready to play.
And they got a couple of guys in Jordan Medina and also Gabe Ramos that have been really big in terms of home runs and the power numbers this year. Medina right now with 7 home runs. Ramos was 6. So they got a couple of guys that can certainly swing it and bring the big sticks to the plate.
Yeah, you know, those are two kids that really hurt us last year in that series over there. So, you know, I'm sure they'll be ready to play. They're very well coached. They're a program that, you know, with their coaching staff, they're doing a nice job. They're on the rise. They're getting better. They're becoming more of a factor. So we're going to need to be careful with this one.
From a pitching standpoint, there's some struggles, though, for Colorado Christian. They have an ERA right now of 12. And so that has been an area that hasn't quite developed the way they were hoping it would.
No, that's correct. You know, but in there they have 3 or 4 really good kids that can hold you down. They usually condense those kids into the 7-inning games. You know, the 9-inning games are the ones where they've had lopsided losses. The 7-inning games is where they've largely beaten people. you know, so depending on how they use their pitching, it becomes a guessing game for us. You know, we need to put our better kids in those seven-inning games as they try to shorten the game and reduce the amount of pitching you need to win, which is a strategy a lot of college programs use.
All right, so the Mavericks open up that series this Friday over in Denver at Lakewood when they take on Covenant Christian. First game of the series starts at noon. I do want to ask you, Chris, before we wrap things up, about Sergio Romo signing the 10-day contract to retire as a San Francisco Giant. He's expected to pitch in their exhibition game against the A's, one of the teams that he played for during his career, when the Giants score off against Oakland coming up on Monday. I think it's cool that Sergio's going to go out there and toe the rubber one more time before he hangs him up.
I think it's just great. Really happy for him. I know that the retirement was a difficult decision. We had about a two-hour conversation in December as he was trying to decide and on what he was going to do, and he was about to get married. And, you know, he had told me the day, a couple days before his wedding, that he was going to announce his retirement at the wedding, which he did. And this is just a great thing for him, and I know he's very happy about it.
When you think back to when he was there in 05, I mean, he was named the RMAC Pitcher of the Century when they had the 100th anniversary of the conference, and, you know, the 14-1 record, the incredible game he pitched in regional play, just the personality. I mean, there's just a lot of great memories if you're a Maverick baseball fan, a ton of great memories about Sergio Romo.
Well, he was entertaining, to say the least. And, of course, we know highly talented. And, you know, what always amazed me is the numbers that he put up here in Division II baseball, strikeouts to walks to hits and all those things. He kept those same ratios through the minor leagues and into the big leagues, and which is just really amazing. And, you know, he was a fun kid to coach, just an extreme talent.
Not to knock anybody you've ever coached or that Jeff Rogers has ever coached or anybody else that you faced, but Sergio, the best pitcher you've ever seen on your club or anybody else's club during your time coaching?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, his numbers in the RMAC speak for themselves. He made that all-century team or whatever they did several years ago. You know, it's undeniable. The numbers he put up in our conference, and as I mentioned, the fact that he has 3 World Series rings. He spent 15 years in the major leagues. I mean, I guess you can't argue that.
No, you can't. All right, Chris Hanks, talking about Sergio Romo, who will pitch in his final game coming up on Monday when the Giants play the A's at Oracle Park, as he says farewell to a 15-year career and 3 World Series titles with San Francisco Giants as a reliever. An incredible career for Sergio Romo. And, of course, the RMAC Pitcher of the Century.
Yeah. No
back
question.
Back in 2005. So, Chris Hanks, as we mentioned, when they open up that series today at noon over at Lakewood against Covenant Christian, Chris sitting on 999 wins. And a guy that was there for year one of Chris Hanks being the baseball coach at then Mesa State College. A guy used to host the show with me. You can check out the Davis and Beetle podcast at our website, Facebook page, Twitter feed, and where you get your podcasts. Curtis Biedelman pitched for Chris Hanks back then, and we talked about it on our podcast. Here's Curtis Biedelman talking about being the guy that picked up the 3rd win ever for Coach Chris Hanks.
Chris was not, at that time anyway, you know, he's not a Mesa alum. He is now. I think he's gotten degrees and stuff from Mesa now, but at that time he wasn't, you know. He was coming off of a professional career from Boston and stuff like that. And so he was kind of working his way through getting degrees and all that stuff. So it's not like Chris was the overly qualified person that he is now. And so I remember fighting for him to be the head coach. That's what we wanted as players. And so that was a big deal to get that first win. And that weekend was a really good weekend. I think we won 3 out of 4 that weekend. I got one of those wins on the mound as well. I think I got win number 3 on the season for him. But it felt like things had changed from a cultural standpoint.
Right, you can hear more of that podcast once again at our website, theteam1340.com. And best of luck to Chris and the Mavericks this weekend playing over at Covenant Christian. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back and Katie Wenge, who joined us yesterday on the program. We're going to bring that conversation back because, well, I'm sounding the way I'm sounding today. Put it that way.
That's all you need.
And Katie had a lot of good stuff about the Nuggets. We'll bring that back to you in just a moment. Text or call us. Still got time if you've got some thoughts about the NCAA basketball tournament last night with an incredible game with Gonzaga and UCLA. Kansas State knocks off Michigan State in overtime. Text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's Nuggets Talk with Altitude Sports' Katie Wenge on The Jim Davis Show.
With us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line covers the Nuggets for Altitude. Katie Wenge, she joins us. Katie, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let's see, it was five cities, two different countries, but it might have felt like you were in a third country last night with all the Serbian flags there with the Serbs watching Nikola Jokic last night in Washington.
Yeah, it definitely was. It's funny. There have been longer road trips that I've been on over the past couple of years for the Denver Nuggets, but this one felt particularly long. Between the two back-to-backs in New York, you're in New York for like 4 days, and then we had 2 days off in D.C., so we were just kind of waiting around for the game to happen last night and finally hit my head on my pillow at 3 a.m. Denver time. So crazy, crazy travel trip, longest trip of the year, but the Nuggets, pretty good outcome.
Well, we appreciate you coming on this morning after, of course, a very long trip and a short night of rest. We appreciate it. We won't keep you too long this morning because I know you probably have a lot of things to get caught up on and just – probably, you know, unpacking and all the things that come with being gone as long as you've been. Probably people are going, hey, Katie, you look familiar. You've been gone so long, they probably don't recognize you.
Yeah, it's funny. Scott Hastings always talks about how the hardest trip of a road trip is the first game home, because once you get home, it's like life hits you right in the face. You have to, like, family stuff and unpacking and taking care of things back at, you know, your apartment or your house where you live. And so it's kind of easy to lose a little bit of focus once you get back home. Thankfully, the Nuggets do have a couple days to get ready for the Milwaukee Bucks. But it is funny how you just want to probably rest and enjoy being back home. But the moment that you're here, you're like, okay, I have 5 million things I need to take care of now that I'm back in Denver.
Well, what's the first thing you do for yourself when you're back home to kind of get yourself back into the swing of things? Maybe just that the one thing that you can only do at home that kind of makes you feel like, okay, I'm back home, like catch my breath, and it's a little me time for just a few minutes.
So for me, I love trying out different coffee shops on the road. That's one of the things that I love posting on social media, and people will recommend some to me. But I absolutely love making coffee at my own house and sitting down and, like, having a slow morning the day after I get back, hanging out with my dog. Like, that to me is like, okay, I can breathe a sigh of relief. I've made my coffee the way that I always love to make it, and I've got my dog next to me. Life is good.
Yeah, so it's just that Katie's cup of Joe, just that cup of coffee.
Exactly.
In your place.
Yep.
Reconnecting with your dog and just being able to chill out for a little bit. Katie Wenge from Altitude Sports covers the Nuggets joining us today. Nuggets get the win at Washington last night. Nikola Jokic with another great basketball game with 31 points last night. Jamal Murray nearly had a double-double for Denver and a really great three-point shooting night for Michael Porter Jr. But Michael Malone talked about how he had to get on the guys at halftime. So, come on, you know, I want these guys to care. And he was like, we finally started caring last night. And there seemed to be, while happy with the win, a sense of frustration from Coach Malone that he shouldn't have to give this kind of speech against a team like Washington with just, you know, 9 games left in the season, that there seemed to be some frustration on the part of Coach Michael Malone on his part last night.
Yeah, I think it's human nature, right? And he's been talking about this a lot the past couple days, where the Nuggets have been in the first place in the Western Conference since December. Like, that's a long time to really withstand, like, to hold on and to withstand all of the adversity that they've kind of had to face through that. And they were playing some of their best basketball through that time. And so I think when you've had a taste of how good that they can be and the potential that's there, it's really hard to settle for less. So from a coaching standpoint, you can understand that, right? But the human nature side of it is the Nuggets really aren't playing for anything right now. Like, they're playing to hold on to that number one seed, but it really, the urgency comes from the teams that are trying to catch them. And so I think more than anything, this Nuggets team is really ready for some playoff basketball. which is coming. It's on its way. The concern is kind of the drop-off in these nine games or the past couple games that the Nuggets have had. And so it's I talked to Jokic at practice a couple days ago, and that was his biggest concern, too. I asked him, you know, you have 10 games remaining. This is prior to the D.C. game. What do you think the team needs to focus on most in that final stretch? And his answer was really simple. It was like, we need to wake up. We're not good enough to where we can flip a switch. I don't think any team is good enough to where they can just flip a switch and be the best version of themselves. So I think throughout these next nine games, that's kind of what the Nuggets are going to be focused on, getting back to Denver Nuggets basketball. But to your point, Jim, Coach Malone wasn't the only one that was voicing frustration. Like, Coach shouted out Jamal Murray after the last game and said that his leadership was something noteworthy. He was talking, going back to the locker room about being frustrated and saying, it feels like this team is just going through the motions. So Jamal Murray speaking up, I mean, he's kind of like Nikola Jokic. When those two talk, everybody listens because they pick and choose their spots very strategically. So good to hear that Jamal kind of got the guys fired up. Coach Malone echoed that sentiment at halftime, and the third quarter was much more like the Nuggets basketball that we've come to know and love.
Katie Wingy joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Milwaukee at home coming up on Saturday with Giannis. Of course, is in the mix along with Joker for the MVP. And then the big rematch with Philadelphia and Joel Embiid, who's really now become the prime contender to Nikola Jokic for the MVP. With nine games left, and like you said, Nuggets looking to keep that number one spot in the West, but you know they've secured their playoff spots, so that's not at stake. Is it now a situation where it's sending a message maybe to the Eastern Conference, Katie, for this basketball team, to Giannis and the Bucks, to Joel Embiid and the Sixers, that look, Nuggets get into the finals, we face you, we don't fear you, and getting some payback and a little revenge for how things went in Philadelphia, which was not a good effort by the Nuggets when they lost there previously?
You know, I think it's less we're going to make a statement, and it's more we're playing two really good teams. Let's see where we're at. Like, that's what it feels like to me. And this Nuggets team has never really struggled to get up for big games. It's been, and they've done a much better job of it for majority of the season. It's been when you're playing teams like the Washingtons, where they don't have two of their best players, and the Nuggets kind of breathe a sigh of relief and settle in when they shouldn't. And they think they can just walk in and win the game. I do not think that that's going to be a mentality that they will have coming into the game against Milwaukee Bucks or against Philadelphia. These are two really big games. They're both home games. The Nuggets had kind of had a little bump in the road at home as of late. And so can they right that ship a little bit more after, you know, having such a great season at Ball Arena? And get that back in a place where they feel good about it, too. Because these are two teams where you're going to get their best. They're looking to prove something. They're looking to prove maybe that the Eastern Conference is stronger than the Western Conference. And Embiid's going to be looking to prove, you know, I'm the MVP. Even though he might not say it, he's going to come out and play that way. If he plays. I know he went out of the game, his last game with an injury. So I think he's good to go. And then I don't know. That's always a question mark with Embiid. But I think with the Bucks in particular, it's just going to be one of those things where you're going to get the best version of the Bucks because the Nuggets are the hunted now. They used to be the hunters, and now they're the hunted. They're the number one seed of the West, and teams want to make statements against them. So for the Nuggets, it's like, can you get up for these really big teams and play the basketball you're capable of playing?
And then they wrap it up at home, the regular season, on the ninth against Sacramento. How shocked have you been to see what the Kings have done this season?
Yeah, super surprised. And Sabonis has been phenomenal for them, but I have to give Mike Brown, like, all the credit in the world. Coach Malone has given him a lot of credit, too. They've coached together, so they know each other. They just have been outstanding. And I think everybody is, you know how, like, the Minnesota Vikings this season in football, like, they had such a great record and everybody was calling them frauds. And they're like, they're not as good as all the wins that they have. And I feel like people are kind of like that with Sacramento. Like, no one really believes the success is real. No one really believes the success is sustainable. And then making the playoffs, this is the longest playoff drought of any NBA team, the Sacramento Kings. They're going to break that streak this season. So I'm excited to see what they can do when the lights are shining even brighter and the stage is set. I think a lot of teams are probably searching for a Kings matchup because you know you have a young Kings team with not a lot of playoff experience, but it's been fun to watch them thrive and prove people wrong, and I'm a sucker for a good underdog story, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's fun to see what the Kings are doing. Like you said, the longest playoff drought in the NBA, and that's going to come to an end, and just in everything that's gone on there over the years with that team nearly leaving Sacramento and some of those things that make it an interesting story. Katie Wingy from Altitude with us today on the Team Sports Network. Wrap it up, Katie, with your concerns about the Nugget bench right now, because there are times, well, I liked initially a lot of the moves, and like Thomas Bryant and some of those things that they've done, and Reggie Jackson, but it just seems like it hasn't clicked yet with those two guys in particular. Kind of take us through your thoughts about where the Nuggets bench is right now.
Yeah, I would say I feel pretty confident saying that Thomas Bryant and Reggie Jackson are out of the rotation for the foreseeable future, unless something happens. I know Coach Malone has talked about if the opposing team does have a bigger center that comes in for them, then we might see Thomas Bryant a little bit more. But both of those are going to be options to have depending on matchups. They're not necessarily going to be like worked into the second unit as we've been seeing the past couple games right now. Coach Malone's been very honest, I believe, with both of them. I know for sure with Reggie Jackson of like, look, Christian is doing what we need him to do right now. We're grateful that you're here, but you're just not in the rotation, and I hope that you can understand that we're trying to win a championship. And they've been great in terms of attitude, in terms of presence in the locker room. I think that the second unit still is trying to figure out what their identity is. Between Jamal Murray being the stagger that goes in with them, Bruce Brown, Christian Brown, we saw KCP stagger with them last night. I think that's just because Jamal Murray has been playing such high-volume minutes. And then you're going to see some combination of Jeff Green, of Vladko Chanchar. It doesn't seem like Vladko's in the rotation right this second. So there are still pieces of that puzzle that need to find their place. And I think that, for me, is the biggest concern and my biggest focal point in these final nine games. Is how is that bench going to shake out? How is their confidence going to be? And how are they going to find really their identity? Coach Malone talks all the time about defending, rebounding, and running. And you can't rebound and run if you don't defend. And I think that second unit really needs to thrive off of being a disruptive defense that can get out and go against an opposing defense that isn't set. They're not going to find a whole lot of success going, you know, playing half court offense and trying to run sets and that sort of thing. I just don't think Jamal Murray is really the only player in that unit that can play make and can create. And you don't want to put that load entirely on Jamal Murray, especially, you know, given the way that his body's probably feeling at this point. So there's got to be more cutting. There's got to be more moving. There's got to be more, you know, playing selflessly within that second unit, but also on the defensive end, that's got to get figured out for them.
All right, Katie Wingy from Altitude covers the Nuggets. Always appreciate catching up with her and Chris Dempsey as well when they come on the program. All right, 9:35, Jim along with Cake. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. And it's time for Trip Back in Time.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
Go back to 1952. Chicago's Bill Mocinko scores 3 third-period goals in 21 seconds to rally the Blackhawks to a victory. Blackhawks take a 7-6 win over the New York Rangers. 1970, the logo, Jerry West, wins his lone NBA scoring title, averaging 31.2 points per game. He accumulated 2,309 points in 74 games for that 31.2 points per game average. 1975, Muhammad Ali knocks out Chuck Wepner to retain his world heavyweight title in Cleveland. Do you know the significance of Chuck Wepner?
Unfortunately, I do not.
Not the official inspiration, but he was part of Sylvester Stallone using Wepner as part of his idea for Rocky.
Oh.
The Wepner's 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali provided some of the inspiration for the Rocky character.
Huh. Okay, and I feel like I heard that somewhere, but I'm not at full brain capacity right now.
There's a movie out, watched it several years ago. I believe Liev Schreiber plays Chuck Wepner. And so you might check that out if you want to look it up. Also, 1979, Larry Bird leads Indiana State to the NCAA championship game. They beat DePaul 76-74. Larry Bird in that game, 35 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists. 1980, Louisville beats UCLA 59-54 to win the NCAA basketball title, led by Dr. Dunkenstein, Daryl Griffith. That was his nickname. Remember
that's a great nickname.
Guys had posters of him and everything. Back in the day, I think it was a Nike poster for Dr. Dunkenstein. Also, 1991, Dean Smith becomes the first coach to win regional titles in four different decades. Also, 1994, Kansas State's Askia Jones scores 62 points in 28 minutes in a 115-77 win over Fresno State in the NIT quarterfinals. And that's this day in sports history. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back, preview the Sweet 16 action tonight, which it starts right here on the team at 4 o'clock. So we'll get into that. Also, garbage time, that's on the way. Text or call us. Love to hear from you before we wrap it up today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team. Phone line 970-242-1340.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 941, Jim and Cake today. Trying to muddle through a Apache Friday, doorstep of the weekend.
I think your voice has actually gotten a little bit better.
Probably, I guess. Thank you. I know, I was listening to that sportscast going, yikes! I felt for Scott Van Pelt the other night. The clip he played of SVP. Or he's just barely to lose his voice. Do you still have that the ready by any way?
Yeah. And again, what was so, he even said it himself. I don't know if it's in here or not, but he said he felt fine physically.
It's the way I feel right now.
Just, you know, couldn't talk.
You're wondering, can he make it? Will he be able to make it to the end?
Can he do it?
I don't know. Connor McDavid. Leading the NHL in goals. This is terrible. I'm trying. This is what a disaster.
He's got 58 on the year.
Thank you, Steve. He's about to be 59. It's off the man's head.
It is. Another view, you see it right off the goalie's back of his head.
There you go.
Yeah. Kind of a Michael Jordan flu game for Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, it was. Wasn't quite that bad. I mean, I haven't been that bad yet this morning. I mean, couple times I thought, okay, I think after hearing that, I said, okay, am I going to be close to what Van Pelt went through?
I think you're fine.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if that helped me going forward, because I all of a sudden started getting in my head a little bit after you played it, which you were not doing that too.
I was not trying to
mock my condition today.
I was not trying to throw any shade.
Yes, you were not throwing shade in my direction. It just happened to be, you know, by coincidence that you're going to play that today. All right, so NCAA basketball tournament, Sweet 16, continues tonight here on the Team Sports Network. Starts at 4 o'clock. And so you have Alabama, your number one overall seed, taking on San Diego State, a 5 seed. And so Alabama, they've won by an average of 43 points over the first two opponents combined.
That's pretty good.
They shut down Maryland, held them to 35.2% from the field, 12.5% from three-point range. Brandon Miller, the controversial freshman.
Yeah.
Played well, had 19 points in that game. Aztecs have been stifling on the defensive end. San Diego's 0-2 in Sweet 16 appearances. I would... As much as we've had upsets and things like that,
you don't think San Diego State's going
to
pull it off?
I don't think they will. Alabama will move on to the Elite Eight. You've got Houston, the other surviving number one seed, taking on number five Miami. So after they got a little bit of a scare in the first round, they beat Auburn as Marcus Sasser Tramon and Mark combined for 48 points. Miami beat Indiana to make it second straight Sweet 16. And Isaiah Wong has been really good for them. 27 points in their last game that they played against Indiana. Got on the glass against the Hoosiers, out-rebounded them 48-31, and had a 29-11 edge in second chance points. This is going to be a tough one. Houston's gotten a little bit healthier, but Miami with Wong and the way he's been playing right now,
they're a tough team.
It's a team that's been to the stage of the tournament last year for Jim Larrañaga. Don't be surprised to see Miami pull off the upset tonight. And another number one seed goes down. You have number 6 Creighton against number 15 Princeton. Tigers, we know the story, playing their first Sweet 16 since 1967. And just the fourth number 15 seed to ever get to this point, being number 7 seed of Missouri in the second round, where they played really, really well defensively. And you have Creighton, and they're just their second Sweet 16 since 1974. And they have not played. These two have not played in the tournament against each other since 1961.
Wow.
And so we'll see what happens. But certainly two surprising teams in the Sweet 16 with Princeton and Creighton going at it tonight.
I'm kind of hoping that Princeton pulls it off. Just to sort of continue that Cinderella story that I don't want to say has been lacking this year. It hasn't. But if Princeton pulls it off against Creighton,
get the Elite Eight.
To get to the Elite Eight, that's
incredible.
Now, Creighton very well could look at this and go, yeah, no, we're not letting them play the spoiler for us. We want to go to the Elite Eight as well. I think it's going to be a tough matchup.
And then you have number 2 Texas, second-seeded Texas, I should say, against third-seeded Xavier. And you have Rodney Terry as the interim Longhorns coach. They're favored by 4.5. And Texas able to beat 10-seeded Penn State. Dylan Dissu had the 28-point game, which led the Longhorns into the next round. And Xavier, they have 6 players that really do all the heavy lifting. But they all scored in double figures, and they played well defensively in that one against Pitt. But yeah, I think probably on paper, probably the closest matchup of the night between all the games in the Sweet 16.
Texas Xavier, yeah.
Yeah. So, once again, it starts 4 o'clock today. Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, second night of the Sweet 16 right here on the Team Sports Network. All right, it is time to open up the lid. Hop in, kick back, and enjoy. So we roll around with the styrofoam cups and the leftover food and the coffee grounds.
I don't know about rolling around.
Just roll around in it. It is garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
Okay, maybe that wasn't the best picture to paint.
You know, on a day like today when we're both on the struggle bus.
Maybe not. All right, Forbes magazine has put out baseball's most valuable teams. And the price for Major League Baseball teams, up 12%.
Wow.
And this is even with all the uncertainty about regional TV broadcasts for baseball.
It's inflation.
So
it's gotta be what it is.
You're not looking at this, right?
I am not.
Okay. So
I'm going to just go on a limb and say the Colorado Rockies are not number one.
But who do you think is number one?
I'm going to say the Yankees.
Good guess. The Yankees number one.
Okay.
In terms of the most valuable teams of 2023. Followed by?
Red Sox?
Red Sox are third. Dodgers second.
That makes sense.
The Cubs.
Makes sense.
The Giants, the Mets, the Angels, the Braves, the Phillies, and the St. Louis Cardinals. And so, where do you think the Rockies are?
I'm going to say bottom half. I'm going to go 16th.
If you go down just a little farther.
18th?
20th.
20th.
20th in Major League Baseball. Right now, the average Major League Baseball team is worth $2.32 billion. So, for those that feel like baseball doesn't have value anymore, or franchise, or you know, they're all losing value because nobody's watching baseball anymore. No, they're actually going up in value.
It's going to be interesting to see, though, like you pointed out, the regional sports networks and all that other stuff. See if that has any impact on it, and if baseball has to basically take over some of the broadcasts, or if the teams have to take over. It'll be interesting to see if that plays out, if that has any impact.
And you have teams, and the Rockies are among them, that, and we've discussed it quite a bit on the program, the whole regional sports network situation with the Warner Brothers Discovery, who they own some of the RSNs. They want to get out of it. They plan on filing bankruptcy, and it's coming up here at the end of the month. Major League Baseball plans on taking over those broadcasts and continuing with the same people, and the Rockies will still have Drew Goodman and Jeff Houston and company.
Mm.
But the Arizona Diamondbacks are impacted by this. Atlanta Braves, Baltimore Orioles, the Red Sox. Or actually, the Braves and the Diamondbacks are affected by it. Also, the Cubs, the Reds, Cleveland, the Rockies, as we referenced.
Probably your mid to small market teams.
And Detroit Tigers.
Going to be most affected by this.
And so we'll see where things go, but we'll have Rockies baseball right here on the team. Starting at that series in San Diego. What do you have?
So earlier this week, I had terrible, terrible insomnia, and I decided to exercise my creativity whilst I was unable to sleep and came up with what is basically headlines from like The Onion, but it's Colorado sports related.
Okay, I like this.
So
now if you do this and they're really good, you know,
you're gonna have to start.
There'll be a requirement that you do this every Friday.
Fair enough. Nikola Jokic's horse thinks MVP should go to Giannis.
That's good. I like that.
Coach Prime misses Buff spring game waiting for RTD.
Okay, I like it. It's good.
Greg Penner takes greeter job to pay for stadium renovations.
Hi, welcome to Walmart. My name's Greg.
Let's see. This one's Cale Makar made Boom Boom out 3 weeks.
Made Boom Boom?
Because he's so young, you know. He's
okay.
Pac-12 negotiates media rights deal with Hyatt Hotel Channel.
It's really popular, from what I heard. It's a growing service.
And last one here, Madden glitch causes Russell Wilson to throw touchdown to open receiver.
Okay, so now there'll be expectations. You're going to have those every week.
All right.
It's probably going to be a segment. I'll have to get a big voice guy to do it and everything. So, see, when you come up with stuff like that, then
I know
there's an expectation that you will have to deliver that every week. No, you won't be here next Friday, we should say.
I will not.
So you get a break. You'll have a chance to work on some of those.
While our boss, Chris, goes on a cruise, I'll be filling in on the morning.
Where are they going?
I don't know. They're going to be on a boat somewhere.
Oh, it's a ship. I'm sorry. They don't.
Right. Sorry.
The cruising people get rather persnickety. I learned that when we went on a cruise.
If you don't call it a boat.
Yeah, it's a ship. It's a sailing vessel. Boat? We're not on a boat. We're on a ship.
We're on a ship.
Okay, Carnival Cruise Line, settle down. Yeah, they get a little, heated.
A little
about
salty.
A little salty about that kind of thing. I think you're insulting their fine ship.
Okay.
Have you ever gone on a cruise?
No, and I don't plan to because I'm not not sold on the whole ocean thing for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm there with you when we went on the ship.
You know, my mom goes whale watching as often as she can now.
Which was cool. We went to Alaska. It was really, really cool to do that.
And I'm sure it's great, but also to not be on the top of the food chain anymore is a little
Well, actually, when we went on that one, it didn't seem, I don't know, I didn't really get seasick on that. It was on the ocean. When we were out on the ship in the ocean. And then after a day or two, you kind of got used to it. But that first day,
No, thank you.
It was not good at all. Right? That's our show for today. We always appreciate you listening. And have a great weekend. Jim Rome's coming up next. Don't forget, NCAA basketball tournament starts at 4 o'clock today here on the team. For Cake, I'm Jim. Hopefully back with you on Monday. Hopefully sounding more like I normally do. Have a great weekend.